Shaking himself, Martin clambered on with the shouts of the Gore tribe ringing in his ears.
Silly beast fell! Yee!
Martin could hear the swift, nimble patter of the paws on the rocks behind him. Glancing up, he saw that Rose had made it to the cave mouth. She pushed Drum inside and reached her paws down to help Palom, who was blowing and panting as he strove to gain the opening. The Gore tribe were within a paw's length when Martin arrived at the cave. Pushing Rose inside, he stood in the entrance and drew his sword. Chest heaving, limbs trembling, Martin still managed a short laugh of triumph.
Ha ha! Come on, you thick-headed rabble! You can only come two at a time, and I'm more than a match for any two of you!
Inside, the cave was like a huge rock-faced tunnel. The first thing Rose saw were two great luminous orbs. She jumped back in fright.
Who's there?
The voice was awesome, harsh and thundering. It echoed around the rock walls. Rose shrank back in terror.
Please, we're only harmless travellers hiding in here from the squirrels. They're trying to kill us.
An enormous short-eared owl waddled out of the gloom. Rose cringed as it lifted a heavy taloned claw. It smiled, lowering its tone to a kindly whisper.
Don't be feared, Mouse Maid. We must act with all haste. Tell your friends to heed me not when I put on my great voice. Come.
The Gore tribe leaped and chattered on the narrow escarpment at the cave mouth. Martin bared his teeth, slashing the air menacingly with his small sword.
I am Martin the Warrior. Any beast who is fool enough, come and meet death.
The squirrels screeched and leaped, pushing one another forward. But for the moment, it seemed that none were too keen to encounter the foe mouse who stood defending the rocky entrance. However, Martin knew that it was only a matter of time before the frenzied squirrels were pushed to attack him. Still facing his enemies, he tried to communicate with Palom in a low murmur.
Hurry! Get rocks to throw, sticks to beat them off, anything! They're getting ready for a charge. I'll be overwhelmed.
A mighty bark-brown wing enveloped Martin, sweeping him lightly aside. The short-eared owl filled the cave mouth, its legs thick as yew branches tipped with lethal talons. A wail of fear arose from the Gore tribe. They fell flat wherever they stood, pressing their faces down on the mountainside.
Yee! Sky-squee! Yee!
The massive feathered head swiveled back and forth, huge golden pupils distending as its glittering black irises reflected the moon at their centres. Hunching over, it glared murderously at the quaking squirrels.
Baldred sees all. I was many leagues from here, yet I winged high and watched you torment these travellers. Brainless ones who live for pleasure without any thought of others. Did you not think I would return?
A moan arose from the prostrate squirrels. The great owl repeated her question, raising her voice to a maniacal shriek.
Answer me! Did you not think Baldred would return?
The mob remained silent.
Where is your chieftain?
She turned a squirrel over with a swift flick of her beak. Its terrified, tear-stained face stared pleadingly at her as it pointed in Martin's direction.
The mouse defeated him, Sky Queen!
Baldred gave a short coughing noise, as if reassessing the situation.
This I already knew. Do I not know all? Answer me truly. Why were the Gore tribe persecuting these travellers?
The squirrel Baldred had elected spokesbeast hung his head like a naughty young one caught with his paw in the cream.
Sky Queen, it was a game. We were only playing.
With a speed that the eye could scarcely follow, the short-eared owl pinned the nearest six squirrels by their tails with their flashing talons, calling out over the cries.
Shall I play my game?
She spread her wings and rose from the ground, lifting all six with ease as the outspread pinions beat slowly in the night.
Speak! Shall I play my game, or will you obey me?
Rose clutched Martin's paw.
Is she going to kill them? Oh, I can't watch!
Don't fret, Rose. The owl knows what she's doing. Leave it to her.
The Gore tribe cowered on the rocks, sobbing piteously.
Do not slay us, Sky Queen! Mercy! Eee!
She dropped the six onto the heads of the others. Landing, she resumed her stance, accentuating her words with clacks of the dangerous hook beak.
You are dull, witless beasts with short memories. But I will not slay you this time. Next time I will, every one of you. Heed my warning. As punishment, you will all stay on the ledge below here until sunset on the morrow. You will neither eat, drink, move, or talk. Go now!
Without a sound, the entire Gore tribe vacated the space in front of the cave entrance, dropping to the lower ledges where they sat in utter silence. Baldred flew out, hovering low over their heads.
Remember and obey, or Baldred will return.
The four friends stood back as the owl landed in the cave mouth. She gestured them to keep quiet, indicating that they should move further into the tunnel out of Gore tribe earshot. Baldred went ahead a while before ushering them into a cunningly concealed side chamber. They entered, surprised to see that it was illuminated by a shaft of moonlight which came from somewhere up near the cave's craggy ceiling. A friendly-looking, full-grown male perched alongside a small, fluffy owlet nodded to them. Baldred waddled up onto a moss-covered ledge and blew a loud sigh.
That Gore tribe, lackaday, they must think every beast as stupid as themselves. Do you know what they said, Horty?
Don't tell me. They were only playing a game.
Game indeed. The scatterbrained little savages.
She turned to the travellers.
Forgive me, but those squirrels do try my patience. This is my husband, Hortwinkle. Call him Horty. He hates his full title. And this is our daughter, Emmelet. As you already know, I am the famous Baldred. Now, who do we have the honour of meeting?
Martin, Palham, Rose and Grum introduced themselves. Baldred looked at Martin, nodding her head.
Martin, eh? You've got the look of a warrior. It's a good job you defeated the Gore tribe chieftain, or they would have slain you all on the spot, using the excuse of a game, of course.
Martin felt the scratches on his face.
Some game.
Baldred nodded in agreement before turning to Horty.
I sat the entire mob of them on the lower ledges. No food or drink or talking until sunset tomorrow. That might teach them a lesson.
Horty stroked the downy back of Emmelet.
You don't really believe that, do you? By tomorrow noon, they'll have forgotten and wandered down to play in the foothills.
Martin inspected the cave. It was a comfortable jumble of family living, with brushes, pens, inks, vegetable dyes and charcoal sticks scattered everywhere among large strips of bark parchment. Grum produced food and drink from their pack. As they ate, Baldred explained.
We are map-makers and historians. That is why we don't have a lot of time to control the squirrels. One of us stays here with Emmelet, while the other flies off to explore and hunt for food too. As you see, we are short-eared owls, and as such are daytime hunters. Normally we would be sleeping now, but the cries of the rabble wakened us.
Rose bowed politely.
We're extremely lucky they did. Thank you.
Horty cocked his head at Baldred, and they both nodded. He turned to Rose.
Are you Rose, daughter of Urunvo and Arya?
Yes. Do you know my mother and father?
Oh, yes. You'd be surprised just how much we both know, though it must be many long seasons since we were at Noonvale. You wouldn't remember us. You were only a tiny babe then, always singing as I recall.
Grum scratched his head, then held up a paw.
I remember you, sir, and you, marm. Though I were only a little tight two-seasoned elder, Miss Roser. You uns were oft in Noonvale. That be where us uns be travelling to.
Baldred smiled with pleasure.
Yes, what a beautiful place. We were mapping the area at the time. I'd dearly love to go back there. Horty, would you take care of Emmelet while I accompany our friends back there? It would make their journey a lot less perilous if I were to guide them.
Her kindly husband chuckled as he watched Emmelet playing around his talons.
Oh, I don't mind at all. I'm a real homebird at heart. We get on well together, don't we, my little egg chick?
Emmelet, who never made any sound, looked adoringly up at her father and snuggled under his wing. The atmosphere in the owl's cave was so safe and homely that the four friends slept deeply for the remainder of the night. Martin woke next morning and lay watching Rose, feeding one of Grum's sweet flat invention cakes to Emmelet. The owl chick waited respectfully for each fragment, then wolfed it down with gusto, enjoying the sticky sweetness greatly. Horty bustled in, chuckling as usual.
Those squirrels are still sitting silent and tight, Baldred. You must have given them a really stern lecture last night. Hey, come on, you sleepy heads. It's 2 hours past dawn.
As they breakfasted, the owls conversed.
Pity we couldn't coax old Warden up here. He'd straighten a few Gore tribe tails, I'll wager.
Wouldn't he just? There'd only be tails left by now. Warden would have eaten the lot of them. Can you imagine? I am the law. You are lawbreakers. Glump, There goes another one.
I suppose you're right. Maybe Pelikin could keep them in order. What do you think?
Maybe she could. Pelikin would probably feed them so much they'd be staggering around, too fat to get in any mischief.
Martin looked up from his food.
You know Pelikin?
Baldred preened her feathers.
We know her. In fact, we know lots of creatures that you do. I didn't want to interrupt the tale you told us of your escape and journey last night, or I would have mentioned some. Warden, those prissy Murdoch rabbits. Pelikin, Queen Ambala and her tribe.
And Badrang?
Horsey shook his big feathered head.
We don't know that one, nor do we want to. He is evil, a blight upon a good land. It is certain death to know such creatures.
Baldred spread her wings, indicating that she was eager to travel.
Come on now. We can't wait around gossiping all season about who we know and don't want to know. Just take it for granted that we know many both sides of the mountain. Right, young Rose. Let's see what we can do about getting you back to your home.
From either side, the tunnel looked as if it was only a cave on the mountainside, but it ran clear through the rock from one end to the other, twisting and turning with many offshoots and dead ends. Baldred went in front, leading them out into the brilliant morning sunlight on the other side of the mountain. Martin blinked after the dark tunnel, taking his bearings. The slope on this side was much gentler, with areas of woodland and grassy glades dotting the warm stillness. Hardly a breeze swayed leaf or flower. Grum breathed deeply.
Horror! It do almost smell like home.
Palin took an experimental sniff.
I can't remember ever having a home. What does it smell like?
Rose patted the hedgehog's paw fondly.
You'll know when we get to Noonvale. That will be your home.
They descended at a leisurely pace, stopping to pick wild plums, damsons, pears and apples, which grew in profusion on the sunny slopes. Sometimes Baldred would fly off, but she always returned after a short while.
I've been giving instructions to some birds I know. They're flying ahead to let the otters know you're coming.
Martin wiped at the berry juice that was staining his chin.
Why would otters want to know we're coming, Baldred?
To save your paws. They'll take us part of the way down the broad stream in their boat.
Grum looked slightly nervous.
Only part of way? Do otters have to swim me rest away? I can't swim, ma'am. Water be bad as high mountings.
You won't have to swim, Grum. The otters will pass us on to the stream shrews, and you'll have to travel on their logboats. Not as comfortable as the otter boats, but considerably faster.
Rose found a clump of purple saxifrage. She wove some into a wreath and placed it on her head. Then they came to a shallow stream, weaving its way between the rocks and trees. Baldred perched in a rowan ash, watching them as they skipped downhill, splashing and laughing through the sun-warmed water. She shook her head, remembering the visit she had paid to Pelikin's treehouse the day after the travellers had been there.
If Pelikin's visions are true, it's a long, hard road ahead for you, little warrior. Enjoy a happy day while you can.